Come, Holy Spirit, come by the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In all of our readings today, we see a different aspect of the reality and the centrality of love. We hear about the love that God has for each one of us when he formed us in the womb. We hear about the love that we are called to have for our neighbor and what that love looks like specifically. And then finally, we see Jesus showing us one of the aspects of love. In that first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, we hear these very beautiful words. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. Those are words that apply to every single one of us and every single human being that has ever existed. That God has chosen us individually. That God created you out of love. That God has known you and loved you from all eternity. That you are not an accident. And that you are here for a purpose. That every single human being is brought into existence by love and for love. And we need to proclaim this message, especially in our day and age that so often doesn't have a healthy respect for the dignity of life. This truth applies in the family to be open to life. Because God wills every child to be a blessing. And if that's God's will for your family, to bring a child into existence, to recognize that as a gift, something that God wants to do out of love. This is an important truth to remember for those of you that have had the terrible experience of miscarriage. That child was not an accident. That God willed that child, that God loves that child because that child continues to exist and will exist for all eternity. That God has a plan for that child. And it's also a truth that we as Christians need to proclaim boldly in the world in light of the horrific evil of abortion that is becoming more and more promoted by very powerful sectors in our society. Because from God's perspective, there is no such thing as an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy. Because God wills every single child conceived in the womb into existence out of love. And he wants that child to be a blessing, whether for its biological parents or for the parents who could have the opportunity to adopt it. But that every child is willed by God out of love. And that his love doesn't just end for us when he creates us, but that it continues throughout our life. At the end of that reading, we heard, they will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. That God's love for us is steadfast and unfailing. And as we go through life's challenges and obstacles and sufferings, we need to remember that the love of the Lord is unfailing in that it will deliver us if we put our hope and our trust in him. That God loves us, that we are not accidents, that we are here for a purpose, and that God will always sustain us in his love. In our second reading, we hear a very familiar reading from 1 Corinthians 13. It's very popular at weddings. But it speaks to the heart of not just this romantic, emotional idea of love, but it speaks to the heart of what love truly is and what love requires. Because love isn't something that just happens without effort, without choice. Love isn't just a feeling, but it involves action. It involves specific actions and attitudes towards those that we say we love. That love is patient. that it's kind, that it's not jealous, it's not pompous or inflated, it's not rude. Love does not seek its own interests, doesn't rejoice over wrongs doing, but rejoices with the truth. You see, love is a skill. It's something we have to learn how to do. It's something we have to practice. And it requires that we have certain habits, certain virtues that enable us to love. I think in particular, there's one that's good for us to reflect upon, that love does not seek its own interests. There's something about us as human beings that's just kind of hardwired into us, that we just have a tendency to be focused sometimes on our own needs, our own wants, our own interests. And it's not that those things are necessarily bad, but if we allow them to control us, then they get in the way of love. That love is not quick-tempered. What happens when we become so focused upon our own opinions, our own preferences, our own wants, the way that we want things to be? Well, that doesn't happen all the time. And then we get frustrated and angry and upset. We lose our peace of soul. But love is not quick-tempered. Love does not brood over injury. We live in a culture today that loves to be offended and loves to focus and dwell upon the ways in which we feel that we've been offended. But love doesn't brood over injury. Love does not hold on to grudges. Love does not focus on those things. But love forgives. Love lets go. Love moves on. And in doing so, it gives us peace and freedom. This reading from St. Paul is an excellent examination of conscience for us, because we need to be intentional in our desire to love the people in our life, our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, co-workers. We don't love them in just some vague way of having nice feelings about them, but we love them in the choices that we make, in the actions that we do or don't do. And we need to examine ourselves so that we can love better, because love requires us to be more patient, to be more kind, to be less jealous, less pompous, less inflated, less rude, to not seek our own interests, to not brood over injury. And when we love, love bears all things, all difficulties. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Because love and love alone will endure for eternity. And then finally in our gospel, we see Jesus loving in a unique way, one of the aspects of love. And what we see Jesus doing, we see him speaking the truth. He returns home to Nazareth after having performed many miracles in the surrounding regions. And he comes home, and all of the friends, extended family, people that he grew up with, they have this expectation, well, Jesus, do some of those miracles that you did elsewhere. You did them for those people. Why won't you do them for us, our hometown? They felt entitled that Jesus would do what they wanted him to do. But that's not how it works. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus doesn't submit to people's demands about what he does or not does. Jesus speaks to them the truth that they don't want to hear. He doesn't do what they want him to do. And what happens? They were all filled with fury. And they rose up and they tried to kill him. One of the things about Jesus' life and ministry that I think we have a tendency to forget, if you go through the Gospels and really read what happened, on a very regular basis, Jesus made people mad. He upset them. He said things that they didn't want to hear. And in the end, that's what got him crucified. Because he was saying things in the temple that the Jewish authorities did not want him to be saying. They didn't want to hear it because it convicted them. And he wouldn't stop. It got him arrested. It got him killed. Because Jesus came to speak the truth. He is love incarnate, but he is truth incarnate. And we cannot separate love from truth. They go hand in hand. Love means speaking the truth to people, even when they don't want to hear it. Love means being willing to endure their displeasure, but saying it anyways, because it's not about us, it's about willing their good. And this is something that all of us are called to do in our different responsibilities and vocations in life. Parents, you tell your kids things all the time that they don't want to hear, but you tell them those things because they're true and because you love them. Teachers, coaches, right? Friends. Sometimes we have to call our friends out, tell them things they don't want to hear. This is one of the roles that the church plays as our mother and as our teacher. It tells us things that we don't want to hear. No, sorry, you can't do that. You can't. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth because the truth convicts us, requires conversion. My responsibility sometimes as a priest is to tell you things that you don't want to hear, that require something of you. But if all of us are doing it right, we're doing it out of love. Not out of pride, not out of judgment, but out of humility, out of love, and out of a desire for the good of those to whom we're speaking. And this is something that we are all called to do as Christians in our day and age, to be prophets of the truth, to speak truth to your spouse, to your children, to your siblings, to your family, to speak truth to our society, to the government sometimes, to those you work with. Because as Christians, we must be people of the truth. But Jesus shows us how to speak the truth, that it always must be done out of love, but that it must be done. That love cannot be separated from truth, but that truth must be spoken in love. So we praise God for creating us, for loving us into existence. We ask him for the grace that we would respond with love, with greater fidelity to his will. One of which is that we would love our neighbor, particularly, individually, intentionally, with patience and kindness, with humility, with generosity, with selflessness. And that we would imitate the example of our Lord and be people of the truth that speak the truth, even when it's hard, even when people don't want to hear it, but to always do it out of love.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.